T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back, final hour. Jay Binkley, Steven Serta with you. We'll be joined by Pete Sweeney, ArrowheadPride.com's editor-in-chief from Arrowhead Stadium, in just a few minutes. Get the latest scuttlebutt on the Chiefs' injuries. We missed it earlier. Had Bob Soucy on right at noon. Be in the third hour there of the podcast. He's the voice of the New England Patriots, and that was followed up with Paul Charchi in your fantasy football last-minute starts. Mo Claiborne, Rashad Fenton held out of practice. Damian Williams held out of practice. Remember, he's still dealing with that rib. Frank Clark did not practice today because of an illness, which that's not really telling us a lot. We don't know. I mean, he's dealing with that shoulder. You know, would he have practiced it? Yesterday was limited participant. You know, would he have practiced fully today, or did that illness kind of take it away? I know it's going around. Some teams dealing with it. I know the Patriots took 2 planes to Houston. The Seahawks were dealing with it the other night, and that thing spreads like wildfire. Any kind of illness around that NFL locker room. Pete has put out his latest Chiefs fan confidence rating. Always find this fun. They always do this on Thursdays each week, where the fan confidence poll's gone from 90% to 80% down to 70%. Fan confidence rating is 82%, the highest it's been since week 10, when it was 90%. You can check that out at arrowheadpride.com. And speaking of that, Pete Sweeney, editor-in-chief of said arrowheadpride.com, joins us live from Arrowhead. Pete, Frank Clark, got an illness, huh?
Yeah, apparently it's just the next chapter in the saga of Frank Clark not practicing or performing for the Kansas City Chiefs. Limited yesterday due to his shoulder. Today, not even will take the field because of a sickness. I got to think between everything, whether or not he plays in this game Sunday remains to be seen. Based upon my experience, this is trending right in the direction of a questionable status, so we may not know until Sunday around 1 or 2 o'clock.
Yeah, and that's the one thing. You know, Serta and I were talking about it. It's kind of, we don't know. Like, if he was there, would he practice? The illness kind of changed everything, because that's kind of uncertainty. We might get excited there for a minute and say, oh, it's just a sickness. He's going to be fine to play. But again, he was limited participant yesterday, so we really don't know. And you think questionable designation is might be what we're looking at, which we might be, to keep Belichick guessing.
Right, and I mean, the Patriots do that all the time. Sometimes the Patriots will come out, it seems like when they're ticked off or something, they'll come out with 20 statuses for the game where everybody's questionable. They don't really take it that seriously. I don't think the Chiefs are going to feel bad putting Frank Clark as questionable. If my gut tells me he'll be questionable, and then in a game-time decision, he does suit up. But again, it's anyone's guess right now.
Darrell Williams goes to the IR, Pete. That is the worst-case scenario. We saw that injury, and that was bad. I mean, the non-contact stuff. IR for him. And your guy, Garrett Dieter, and Pat Mahomes' guy, back on the practice squad.
Yeah, GD12 is on the practice squad. And this sort of tweeted last night like he never left, and that is the case. Yeah, I mean, you got to keep QB1 happy. They're reigning MVP.
Yes.
The Chiefs go as far as Patrick Mahomes. So if he has his best pal next to him while he's doing it, I think that's a good thing for everybody.
Spencer Ware, did you get a chance? I know he was out there practice yesterday, rocking the number 39. Any talking with one Spencer Ware?
So it was weird today. So the press conferences included the 2 coordinators and a lot of the assistants. And I was in the room with a lot of the assistants. Sometimes the locker room is empty when you go in there. But Spencer Ware reportedly did speak to a few media members. From what I understand, he's in good spirits. He's excited to be back. You know, the typical comments that you get from a running back. It's a little unclear now how soon and how many snaps he will have against the New England Patriots, but the common theme among everyone that is speaking to the media, Andy Reid, assistants today, Eric Bieniemy, is that it'll be a quick transition back for him, and they're optimistic that he could see some snaps on Sunday. I'm interested in seeing where in the pecking order he lands. Right now, I think McCoy will be your first running back who touches the ball. I think Darwin Thompson will be in that mix, and then Spencer Ware as well. Remains to be seen if Damian Williams suits up in this game as he continues to deal with a rib injury that kept him out of last game.
No question about it, Pete. And, you know, that was kind of where I was going, the whole running back situation. You know, last week before the game, you know, Eric Bieniemy's talking about maybe Darwin Thompson gets more snaps. Obviously, he played because Darrell Williams gets hurt. I don't know how many snaps he gets if Darrell Williams not hurt in that game. Spencer Ware, you really expected him to suit up, or do you think it's going to take a little bit of time? I know he knows the system, but Andy Reid changes things so much.
Yeah, even if it's been as an emergency back, what I can see right now is that based upon Damian Williams not practicing to begin this week and he won't practice again today, you're not going to want to just have two running backs and Anthony Sherman. So even if Spencer Ware is this emergency guy who might get a few snaps late in the game or mixed in a certain package, I think you got to have him on the roster because, I mean, look at LeSean McCoy. McCoy has had injuries earlier this season. I don't think you just want to have Darwin Thompson and Anthony Sherman. So, yeah, I definitely think, you know, within mind that Damian Williams is going to be out, that Spencer Ware will be at least active. Remains to be seen how much he's used. The most interesting thing, and Jay, you'll like this, to come out of today's pressers, and again, I told you the coordinator spoke in all, or I'm sorry, five of the assistant coaches. One of them included running backs coach Dylan McCullough. And I'd ask a question about Darwin Thompson, some of his usage last week. And if I'm not mistaken, and my understanding is correctly, McCullough put him in the game at the end of last week. And the way that he sort of referenced it is that coach, meaning I assume Andy Reid or Eric Bieniemy, basically asked McCullough, what are you doing? And McCullough said back to the coach, we got to get him some real reps. And so I don't know if this was even necessary, the plan to have Darwin Thompson in the game. It seems like it was a decision made by McCullough that at first was questioned, and then they ended up going with it. And then, lo and behold, 11 carries for 44 yards and a touchdown. And now we'll see how much time he gets. But that kind of story right there, that little tidbit, almost makes you think.
How does that happen?
I don't know. It's going to be a heavy McCoy day on Sunday.
Wow, Pete, that's really good information there. That's interesting. Pete, you put out your fan confidence poll today, arrowheadpride.com. Check them out on Twitter at arrowheadpride. 82%, the highest since it's been since 90%. Good for the Chiefs. Say, if they win, where does this bad boy go? If they lose, where's it go?
If they beat the New England Patriots on Sunday, this thing will be above 90% next week. I have no doubt about that in my mind, maybe even above 95%. I mean, I think that would give you the ultimate confidence boost. You beat the reigning Super Bowl champs. I understand that they're struggling. I understand that Tom Brady is still playing, and of course, they're playing as well. But at the same time, you got to understand if the Chiefs beat this grand obstacle that fans have been worried about since preseason, that confidence rating will go up. Now, if they lose, I don't think it depends how they lose. If they lose in a blowout game, this thing may be in a landslide. But if it's a close game, I think you keep it above 60% or so. Again, it remains to be seen how this game plays out.
Talking to Pete Sweeney, editor-in-chief, arrowheadpride.com. You missed him last night, 6 o'clock. That's when Arrowhead Pride Radio is on. But you can catch him 2 hours prior to the game on the Arrowhead Pride Tailgate Show with Kent Swanson. And then Pete and I will be with you after the game. Pete, I like this game for several reasons. I talked to Bob Soucy, the voice of the Patriots. Two chess matches I like. I like Belichick versus Reed. I like Mahomes versus Brady. Which one of those do you like better?
Well, I mean, unless something wild happens, Brady and Mahomes shouldn't be on the field at the same time. So I enjoy this chess
well,
match.
Well, obviously, Pete.
And I enjoy this chess match between Andy Reid and Bill Belichick. I like when these two guys go head-to-head. This year in particular, Belichick named himself the defensive coordinator, and he's always been, similar to Andy Reid, the unofficial defensive coordinator, offensive coordinator. So I'm intrigued in seeing who wins that battle. Belichick's gotten the best of Andy Reid now the last two times. Let's see if Reid can turn the page on him.
Pete, have you been following this Tom Brady stuff? Do you think he comes back to New England? Because we played a call earlier from a WEEI, you know, people are blaming Brady. It's 50% his fault. Terrence Paylor, great article on Yahoo about it being the receivers, not necessarily Brady. What do you think? It seems like there's something going on there.
I think if they repeat as Super Bowl champions, this may be the last year. I think he's finally starting to reach that point where he's getting a little bit older, and I don't know if he could do it for a full season again. If they lose, I could see a scenario where there's plenty of talking and they work this thing out for him to return for one final go at this thing. He's always said that he's wanted to play till 45 years old. So I think you see one more year Brady. Again, if they win and they are able to pull that off, I think the questions are there because there's a lot of signs, a lot of smoke that he's not happy in New England and it's kind of tail end of this thing. You know, McDaniel was on a plane to Indianapolis to be their head coach. They worked things out. They kept him there, and they figured out a way to do it with money or whatever it was. So, yeah, I think they ultimately work this thing out if the Patriots don't do it this year.
Pete, who has more success, the Chiefs' offense against that great Patriots defense or the struggling Patriots offense against the Chiefs defense trying to find its identity?
See, yeah, that's the number one question of this game. And yeah, I've always said this, you got to put your faith in Patrick Mahomes. He hasn't really looked great for the first time in his career for a handful of games here. I think he knows that they're going to win this game if he's able to perform well. So I'm going to put my faith in that. He's a younger player. He sort of has been trending up, you know, since he took over as a starter for the Kansas City Chiefs, whereas there's a 44-year-old man there. And, I mean, I know we've talked about this a million times, but at some point here, it's got to be the end. We saw it in Peyton Manning finally. Maybe we're finally seeing it in Tom Brady. So if I'm forced to pick, and it's a tough choice, I got to go the Chiefs offense versus this really good Patriots defense because Andy Reid has beaten good defenses before.
I'm curious which direction you're going to go in this game, Pete. Your prediction. I know you don't put it out until your tailgate show with Kent Swanson. Do you have an answer yet? I don't want you to give it to me. I don't want you to
no,
reveal it.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, I'll pick on the right before the game on Premier Picks. Yeah, probably tailgate. But
Pete's Picks.
Yeah, this is as unsure of a game I've been all year. I don't know how it's going to play out, and it's such an important game. So that's fun. That's what you want in the NFL. This is why we do this. This is why we love the NFL and love sports. It's a tough one to call.
Pete, I'm going to talk about this in just a second when we're done with this interview. But Rich Gannon was asked by The Drive yesterday, and I know they had put the poll up on Twitter. If you had to rank the Patriots, Chiefs, Ravens, Texans, how would you put them in order?
Ravens to me are clear right now. The rest of the teams, I have, and I understand the Texans just won, but I have the Patriots and Chiefs somewhere in that second tier of this thing, and then the Texans just below those two teams. I think the winner of this game determines who's number two and who's number three. Again, if I'm forced to pick, I still would favor, I think, the Chiefs right now as the number two team. Because, like I said, they haven't really looked complete this year. I've said it a number of times, and they're still 8-4. And so when they can put all these things together, I still think they're a really good team. But I'm not betting against the hot hand and the team that's been playing well all year in the Baltimore Ravens. So forced to pick, I'd go Ravens, Chiefs, Patriots, and Texans.
You know what's funny is at the beginning of the year, you know, you think about tiers in the AFC. I considered the Chiefs and Patriots. I thought the Super Bowl participant will be one of those teams. And on the second tier, because I thought Andrew Luck was coming back, I had the Colts, the Texans, obviously, with Deshaun Watson. And I didn't have the Ravens. I had the Ravens on the next tier. It's amazing. Every year, some team surprises us all. But I'm telling you this, what with the analytics and the way Lamar Jackson's going, the Ravens might be a thorn in the side for a long time.
Yeah, and I think the same thing about the Texans. I think this is the new school of the AFC, and Baker Mayfield's been up and down, so maybe he'll be the guy in that second tier there. But it seems like it's Watson, it's Jackson, and it's Mahomes, and this is going to be the three teams here that go after each other, and it should be fun. You hope along the way that other quarterbacks get in the mix, and I think we're going to see a lot of classic Mahomes-Jackson battles over the next decade or so, similar in a sense to that. What was almost like an honorary AFC rivalry between the New England Patriots and the Indianapolis Colts for so many years, not in the same division, but just the class of quarterback going after each other. And it's very new school quarterback. It's that dual threat that both Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson offer.
Great stuff. Pete Sweeney, editor-in-chief, arrowheadpride.com, your source for Chiefs information. Pete, I know that pretty soon you'll probably have the press conferences and everything up for the people?
Yeah, we'll have that stuff on Arrowhead Pride a little bit later today. When I get off the phone with you, I'll make sure that Serta gets that stuff so you can maybe hit some people with some of the press conference sound at about 1:40. I'm gonna rush to get that to you guys right now.
I want that Bacola stuff. Thanks a lot, Pete. Take care, and right. And we'll talk to you. Damn it, Pete! I thought he'd grown up, man. I was so fast, man. I was gonna, man.
He's gotta be quick to the trigger. He's faster than you are.
But I'm really quick.
You can't really let him know. You gotta cut him off mid sentence.
Was he doing it to get even with me? Is he doing it because he's getting to work? He wants to get you that Mecola. And I told you I want to hear from Mecola. That's interesting to me. They went around Reed in Bienemy and threw Darwin in there. I want to hear that. What happened? Going rogue? Thompson, like, whoa, what's he doing out there? It's good stuff. I want to hear from Mecola, Chiefs running back coach. It was the assistant coach's time to shine today. And you know what? This team, we've seen the offensive staff get raided. You know, Doug Peterson to Philadelphia, Matt Nagy to Chicago. Again, 25% of this league, it takes a little bit of hit because Ron Rivera was a Reed disciple. But 25% of the league was either Andy Reed or his tree. That tree's ridiculous, what he's done. I mean, if you sit and think about the people that learned football from Andy Reid, it's ridiculous. Because we're seeing guys go on and have success. This is the first time in a long – well, it's the first time in – we have to go back a long time. Like Marty, thinking about the guys he had on that staff. Tony Dungy, Bill Cowher, you know, some great minds that were on that Kansas City Chiefs staff, the defensive side. Will get a lot of attention. Yes, on the offense, Eric Bieniemy will be a head coach, whether in college or pro, but he's that good and that talented. And Reed gave him a full endorsement yesterday for anybody to hire Eric Bieniemy. I'd hire the guy in a second. With his energy, enthusiasm, and football acumen, yeah, Eric Bieniemy would be at the top of the list, to be no question about it. But defensively, we might see some things this year. I'm interested to see where it goes. You know what, Spags having a ton of fun. How long is he going to be here? You know, again, Ron Rivera, is he going to be a head coach or be a D coordinator at some place? I would take co-defensive coordinators. I'd take Rivera and Spags, but of course you're not going to have that. But it's not against the rules to have co-coordinators. I don't think they do it, obviously. You're a head coach and you're going to be a co-coordinator, but it would definitely pique my interest. But Brendan Daly, you heard Bob Soucy, the play-by-play guy from the Patriots, loves Brendan Daly and even Bill Belichick. When asked about Brendan Daly, instead of giving a Belichickian answer, there was, well, that's the Chiefs, asked them about him. He gave a good answer. That's the kind of respect that he had for him. Won 3 rings there as a defensive line coach with the Patriots, with the Chiefs. I think he gets a look as a defensive coordinator in this league. I think Matt House, the linebacker coach for the Chiefs, the best defensive coordinator in my mind in college football last year. You know, a guy that helped groomed Aaron Donald. At Pittsburgh, this guy knows what he's doing. I think he's a candidate as well. I think this might be the year that you got to look out. You got to look out. And I know the defense hasn't performed like you thought it would with that group, because it really is an all-star group they have as the defensive coaches. And Dave Merritt with the secondary, the great job he's done. And Sam Madison working with him, you know, fine physical corner in the NFL that's starting to rub off. And that's been a real bright spot for the Chiefs. Has been that defense, and Steve Spagnuolo, a big part of that. He's a defensive-minded guy, a defensive-back-minded guy. He did that in college, did that in the pros. But I asked Pete about who he'd take, and I asked Serta this question yesterday as well. And look at the AFC. It's more teams involved than I thought. Pittsburgh was not there because I see kind of the writing on the wall for Pittsburgh. They're outperforming. This might be Mike Tomlin's best job as a coach. To be quite honest with you, because of what he's doing, you know, with Duck Hodges, and he had Mason Rudolph and doesn't have Big Ben. It's been different, so maybe Tomlin's finest job. But the Pittsburgh Steelers, when you lose Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown, of course you're going to take a hit. I mean, James Conner, fine player. Juju Smith-Schuster, I like the direction he's going. It's not Antonio Brown. It's not Le'Veon Bell, so you figured they'd take a hit. Baltimore's been the biggest surprise. I thought Houston would be good with Deshaun Watson. And I really like Lamar Jackson and have since college. Love watching him play. One of my favorite guys to play college football. And even the year after his Heisman, you could make an argument he put up better numbers. But I always like watching him too. AFC's in good hands. You know, that whole question, if the quarterback's been replaced from the ones we had, the era of quarterbacks. Yeah, I think the NFL is in good hands at the quarterback position. Just different quarterbacks, different styles. You know, and I like that. It's not all the same prototypical drop-back passer, 6'4", 230 pounds. It's fluid. It's elusive. It's using the college game. And I just like the direction of quarterbacks in the NFL. It's why it's fun to watch. It's in my opinion, it is, and I'm a defensive-minded guy, but it is the most fun position to watch in all of sports, the quarterback position. There's only a handful of guys that can play this position in the world. And even a smaller number that you would consider elite that you can count on one hand. A lot of people in this world. A lot of people in this world. Not many can play the quarterback position, the demands of that position. Being the leader. Being able to chuck the ball down the field, understanding routes, understanding – it's just so tough for that position. But Rich Gannon was asked how he would rank the teams, Patriots, Chiefs, Baltimore, and Houston. Here's what the MVP said.
Kansas City, Baltimore, New England, and Houston. I would say right now, because of the fact that they've won 8 straight, they beat the best team, the top team in the NFC, I'd say Baltimore. They've got a great defense. They've got a very – unorthodox approach offensively, a quarterback that is doing some things that we haven't seen in a while. He's gotten better as a passer. So I would start with Baltimore. From there, I think you're splitting hairs. I don't know there's a lot that separates the rest. I would have to go with New England second, even though they just got their noses bloodied by Houston. I think New England's got a better defense. Right now their offense is anemic, and I'm not willing to give up on Brady. Plus, home field advantage is a big deal in the postseason. The Patriots have been incredible in December and January playing at home. After that, I'd probably say Kansas City. I think the quarterback is one of the best in the business. I think Andy Reid's one of the best play callers in the business. Their defense has been a bit up and down, but I like the Chiefs. And look, the Houston Texans, the quarterback is a lot like the guy in Baltimore, although I think he's a better passer at this point in his career. Nobody seems to be able to cover DeAndre Hopkins, and they've got a pretty good defense. Not as good as New England, but I think when you look after Baltimore, I think we're splitting hairs between Kansas City, New England, and Houston. I think if the Patriots had to come into Kansas City at Arrowhead, I think the Chiefs would be favored. If the Chiefs have to go into New England, I think the New England would be favored. We're talking about probably by a field goal. So I don't think there's a lot that separates those other three teams.
Interesting stuff from Rich Gannon as we ponder that question. The drive always comes up with the great questions as far as, you know, in CDOT's hypothetical. I always like what they bring. And so that was one of their, and you can catch that full interview on demand, 610sports.com. But, yeah, the AFC, that's up in the air. And speaking of the drive, Brandon Kiley, producer of the drive, great question. He put it out a little bit earlier, sir. I'll ask you. Hand tossed or thin crust?
Hand tossed.
Okay. All right. That's kind of where I am, too. Thin crust, you got to go right through it. It's like eating crackers. With you on the hand tossed. Deep dish, do you like deep dish? Deep dish or hand tossed? Which direction?
I would rather go hand tossed.
Okay. All right. Very important question. Very important question. We come back, we'll talk Chiefs and the coordinators and an interesting development on how Darwin Thompson actually got into the game. Hear from Chiefs next.
Middays brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending, 610 Sports Radio.
Welcome back, Jay Binkley, Steven Serta. Check out that 435 Podcast Network, by the way. It's whatever you like. You can geek out on it. It's individualized for your taste. It's like shopping a la carte. 610sports.com. Boom, right there, top tab, 435 Podcast Network. You a Missouri fan? True Sun Podcast. Brandon Kiley from The Drive breaks it down. K-State, bet your eye. Faithful to our colors, John Kurtz, sports director in K-Man Manhattan, puts it out. It's awesome stuff. You like Jayhawks? Mass Street Podcast, Sean Levine. Steven Serta, Force the Punt Podcast with Dusty Likens. It's your fantasy football needs. Comes out a couple times a week. Shameless plug, I have Barbecue and Football Podcast, where I sit down, eat barbecue with Bobby Bell, Bill Moss, Mike Garrett. We sit down literally at Smokehouse, eat barbecue, and talk football. And I can't think of anything more Kansas City, more what I like, to be honest with you, than football, barbecue, throw beer in there. That's fine. And I'm pretty happy. I'm pretty happy. Matter of fact, when I die, I want to be eating barbecue, watching football, and drinking beer. If I go out that way, made it. Made it. Seriously. I will do that. Speaking of funerals, terrible segue, but hey, do you ever see that fan in Pittsburgh, Serta? He was such a fan of the Steelers. At his funeral, they put him in a recliner, and they made it look like his living room, like a little fake fireplace and stuff and a bunch of Steelers stuff.
Yeah.
All around.
It was creepy.
That's not creepy. That's cool, man.
It was creepy.
There's dude dead as a doornail, man. Old Larry, or whatever his name was.
Just get cremated or something.
You don't think that's original?
Have your ashes spread on the field at Heinz Field or something.
You don't think that'd be, like, interesting to walk in there? I mean, that's how I want to roll.
Oh, it's creepy.
That's how I want my dead
Everybody's already sad.
But that's what I want, though, man. I want you to walk in there and go, ah, look at Jay, man. He's got a beer in his hand. He's deader than hell, but, you know, there he is. That's the way I want to go out. That's the way I want to go out. My dad always told me, you need 6 friends in life. That's enough to carry you. Again, a little bit too morbid, and I apologize. Let's talk Chiefs. I talked about the assistant coaches talking today for the Chiefs. And again, man, I think this is an all-star staff that they put together. But Dylan McCullough is the running backs coach. And Pete Sweeney told an interesting story there about how Darwin Thompson ended up in the game. I am interested in how the Chiefs play this running back situation. Let's hear from Dylan McCullough, the running backs coach for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Sorry, what do you guys miss now that without Darrell Williams to go to? Darrell Williams to go to. What do you miss without him?
Well, what you miss with Darrell is that Swiss Army knife. You know, a guy that you can count on to do everything from protections to running the ball, blocking, pass protecting, you know, just being that guy that you can count on and feel like he can perform.
Would call him maybe your most versatile back in that regard?
Yes. Yes, for sure.
What did you learn anything about Darwin Thompson in the fourth quarter the other day?
Well, I think it was good to get, you know, nationwide confirmation of what we've been seeing in practice. You know, a guy that can play. I think the last time I sat up here, I said something very similar. I mean, the guy got some juice, you know. And it's one of those things where we finally was in the position to just let him loose. And I know I sat in a meeting and said, man, starting with me, when he's active, I got to just play the dude. You know, and that's what I made a point of doing, making sure everybody was good with it. Let's get this guy out there and get him going.
Did he earn more, like, snaps when it comes to more meaningful parts of the game? I mean, obviously the game was in hand the other day. Do you mm-hmm. think that, based upon what you saw, we could put this guy in the first or second quarter?
Yeah. I mean, and it's one of those things where you just got to just play him. You know, like I said, I sat with the staff and I made that comment. I said, man, we got to just put this guy out there. You know, you can't, it's hard to pick and choose. You didn't know the game was going to become the way it did. So I just put him in early. You know, and coach like, hey, what are we doing? I said, we're getting this guy out there, man. Let's get him going. You know, and he performed at the level that we expected, and we know it's only going to move up from here.
How quickly can Spencer Ware get up to speed?
He'll get up to speed quick, you know.
because he needs to
and because he has that familiarity. You know, and I think one thing with him and Darrell, those guys, ironically, both from LSU, you know, shout out to LSU. These guys did a good job with them dudes. But both of those guys were those Army knife type guys. You know, they can come in and be versatile, do a bunch of different things, be mentally sound as far as protections and doing all their assignments and things like that.
I think LeSean had 24 snaps the other day, and you've been mm-hmm. kind of keeping him in that general workload. Mm-hmm. Is that where you want to keep him comfortably to try and keep him fresh?
Yeah, you know, there's been conversation about that, and I've been making sure that I have awareness of his snaps and making sure we put him in a position to be successful, to help us in that game, but also looking at the long term. You know, we got several more games left, and we want to make sure that LeSean is ready to perform at a high level.
How much are you eager, because of what you saw last week, to see Darwin as a potential receiving option?
Yeah, I'm very excited to see that, being because that's definitely a part of his arsenal. We've seen that in the preseason, a guy that can catch the ball and get up the field and make things happen in open space. So, you know, obviously our scheme has that in it, and Darwin will likely be a part of what we're doing with that also.
He was used at a time when you guys were finishing the game, mm-hmm. right? And so he's pretty much just taking the handoff and going.
Mm-hmm.
Big part of what it takes for a young guy to be ready in the NFL is to handle those blitz pickups. And this team is about as good as it gets at disguising those and confusing young guys. How big a jump is this for him, and is he ready for, you know, the Patriot version of changing up all those blitzes?
Yeah, Darwin will be ready for that. You know, and I think in the last game, we put him in an early situation, third down, different things like that, where these guys were, I mean, they were bringing things. I think it was an offsides called on one. They were about to bring a guy. He was ready to pick it up. So that was by design. I wanted to put him in a stressful situation. He knew what to do, but again, I wanted him to show that in the game.
What did you tell him about the penalty?
Excuse me?
How did you all talk about that?
Yeah, you know, the penalty, first of all, he should be cutting the guy's outside leg, so let's start there. The penalty don't happen if he cuts his outside leg. And that's what all the guys are, that's what we're coached to do on that play, go through his outside thigh board. So, you know, it just starts with where he placed his shoulder. He placed his shoulder at the wrong spot. And his wasn't as obvious as Damien's, you know. Damien reached out on the guy. I'm like, man, what are you doing? You know, but it was still subtle enough that I said, man, forget everything. If you just went through his outside leg, this conversation wouldn't be happening.
Keeping in mind his size and 5'8", do you see, maybe not Sunday, I'm not saying that, but do you see that he has potentially be a RB1 one day in this league for a team?
Well, I mean, all the guys we bring in, I know I coach them with that in mind. You know, just because the nature of our position and the physicality that's involved in it, I mean, you snap your fingers and he RB1, you know. So, again, you're prepping all these guys to be that guy, and Darwin is somebody who we got high hopes and high standards for as far as that's concerned.
Okay. Man, I'd like to hear from Dylan McCullough some more, man. Shouting out LSU. He forgot the Honey Badger. I mean, if you're going to shout out LSU with Darrell Williams, I mean, great guy at LSU. I mean, we're talking about a guy that sat behind Leonard Fournette. Darius Geis didn't transfer. You know, Spencer Ware, who's actually recruited as a quarterback to LSU out of Cincinnati. The guy's an incredibly talented athlete. I mean, shouted out LSU. You forgot the Honey Badger, man. Like, Honey Badger probably wouldn't like to be forgotten like that. Dylan McCullough, but I like that, though. He just put Thompson in the game. he's like, man, you know, I'm putting my guy in and doing that. So loved hearing from Dylan McCullough there. I hear from Brendan Daly in just a second. But, yeah, I like that, man. I mean, you know, Eric Bieniemy was the running back coach for this team, did such a great job. I mean, just the progression of what we saw from running backs and what he did a couple years ago with Spencer Ware and Kendrick West, you know, getting these guys acclimated to play, you know, and what he did kind of on short notice. And sure, Kendrick West, you know, he was on the cover of ESPN and fantasy guy, and then he gets hurt. Then it's Spencer Ware, and, you know, they do a great job. But Dylan McCullough right there, I loved hearing that. Cert, I'm out of energy drinks. I need Bill Belichick to fire me up.
Well, as usual, I'd say the Chiefs look pretty good.
Yeah, thanks, Bill. I needed that. I'm out of drinks, so I needed some Bill Belichick to fire me up to some extent. But Belichick was asked about Brendan Daly. Brendan Daly, of course, came over to the Kansas City Chiefs, one of those big offseason moves that the Chiefs had as far as that defensive staff when they cleaned house and brought in Steve Spagnuolo. This is what Bill Belichick had to say about Brendan Daly, that won 3 Super Bowl rings when he was part of the Patriots.
I mean, you know, they play the scheme that they play. You know, Brendan's a good fundamental coach. We know that. How exactly the input works there in terms of who, you know, who decides what and whose ideas are what they do and all that. You have to ask him. I have no idea. But Brennan's a good coach. He's a good fundamental coach. And I'm sure those guys are being coached well like they were here.
You know, he flips that switch. I don't know how many guys run through a wall with somebody so soft-spoken. I guarantee you he turns it up a notch or two when he's talking to his team. But I was kidding about that firing me up, but I would play for Belichick any day. The guy knows football. Here's Brendan Daly. Again, the Chiefs assistant coaches got to talk today, and I thought McCullough was pretty interesting. Here's Brendan Daly, who's kind of in the spotlight, considering he was a former Patriots assistant, now with the Kansas City Chiefs. This is actually a big asset. Now, Belichick switches things up, and trust me, he knows Brendan Daly's here. You just heard him comment about that, but he kind of knows the inner workings of what they do, and I thought Daly did a great job with the Patriots defensive line and how much Belichick can do everything. I mean, we think the guy does everything. You know, he works with Brady. He's the defensive mastermind. Some of these assistant coaches had to do stuff for him. But that defensive line last year with the Patriots, the way they kind of transitioned, they went from pressure to sacks last year. They're always better in pressures than actual sacks. So I was kind of curious about that because Daly comes over there and kind of understands, You know, the mindset, what they do, how they practice. Again, he was there a long time, won 3 Super Bowl rings with the New England Patriots. Here's Brendan Daly, Chiefs defensive line coach.
Hello, how's everybody doing? Got a great week here, fun week. It's, you know, obviously a great opponent. Deep into the preparation of it here, but excited for a great opportunity to go and compete on Sunday. If you like football, this is the place you want to be. So, go ahead.
Preparing for them, given your background, Brendan, what makes this most fun in terms of trying to figure out what they might do and what you guys can sort of present to them?
Yeah, you know, I think there's a lot of good challenges. You know, they're a good football team. They're well coached. They present a lot of issues for you in all 3 phases of the game. But that's kind of, you know, you enjoy that challenge, you know, as a coach, as a competitor, I certainly do. You know, it's why you do it to me.
Yeah, for, I know Andy sort of mentioned this yesterday, and even Steve Ehrlich, Spagnuolo, said, yeah, it's always great to sort of exchange ideas, get some insight from you. Is there any chance, because of last year and because these 2 teams played twice a year ago, that you've even given some tips for the offense, say the offensive line, just because you know some of their personnel and what they like to do in their schemes, formations, matchups?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. That's what's so unique about this game. Things change so much year to year. And there is some familiarity with their personnel, but there's a lot of changes there too. And to be honest, my focus has been on the offense, their offense, New England's offense, and the issues that they present, which are numerous. Obviously, you know, Josh McDaniels does a phenomenal job, and Dante Scarnecchi, the offensive line coach, those guys are I've got a tremendous amount of respect for, but you know, their personnel there has changed even. So I've been digging in on that and trying to understand how they're trying to play, what they may or may not do. They do a great job of changing week to week, and that's really where my focus has been.
How much has Spags, I mean, he mentioned that he's been kind of picking your brain more particularly this week, but how much is he and just the other defensive coaches kind of approached you about this game?
You know, we've had conversations, but I wouldn't say they're any different than what they are week to week, you know. You know, I certainly don't have all the answers. My time there wasn't necessarily spent with the offensive side of the ball. So, you know, and they've changed quite a bit over the course of each year and each week even. That's one of the unique challenges that they present to you. What you saw last week may not be what you're going to get this week or 2 weeks ago. And so you've got to kind of navigate that and make, you know, the best decisions you can in terms of what you're going to prepare for and how you prepare and what the priorities are. You prepare for all of it, but certain things you've got to, you know, spend more time on than others based on what you think is going to be the keys to winning the game.
I know that the object is to treat every week the same, but anything differently, even if it's just emotionally about facing another team?
You know, not really. I haven't gone there. My focus has been on the preparation and what needs to be done and dealing with our team and our situation and trying to get my group best ready to go and win a game against a really good football team. You know, you try to put the emotions out of it. I don't know, you know, walking in the stadium there, I'm sure there'll be some memories that flood back and things of that nature. But honestly, when the game kicks off, I think all that's probably going to be on the side and you're focused on winning the game.
One of this is very obviously really hypothetical, but if a defensive coordinator role would have come up in New England, do you think that you might have stayed with them?
You know what, to use your word, it's a hypothetical, you know, and I try not to deal in those. You know, my thought process in all areas of things is deal with the task at hand and what the situation is. And not dealing the hypotheticals, you know. I think you can go down a rabbit's hole of bad stuff when you get into that world.
With probably one of the new wrinkles since we last saw you, Brendan, is having Chris Jones move both outside and inside. Just what has allowed you guys to see that and do that more, and how much of an advantage can that be as the season goes along?
You know, we'll see, but he's done a really nice job for us and been a couple of things that have required that. His skill set lends itself to that. I give him a lot of credit in terms of his ability to understand multiple positions and mentally be able to handle that multiple role situation. It's helped us create some mismatches. It's helped us when we've had some depth or injury issues that we've had to deal with. And so, you know, it's a nice, I guess, luxury, if you will. It creates some depth for us. You know, I think week to week, situations as they, you know, change and move, whether we, you know, how much of that, how little of that remains to be seen.
As a follow-up on that, just kind of talking about rotating your defensive lineman with Coach Spagnuolo, how much of that is a matchup, and how much of it is just you've had your five snaps or your 10 or however much you want to get the rotation? How are you able to mix and match that when you're trying to, you know, make sure everybody's fresh?
Yeah, there's a lot of things that go into that, to be honest. The length of the drive, the number of plays we've played in the game. We've had a number of situations where guys are coming back off of being out for a couple of weeks where, you know, their conditioning and their game conditioning may not necessarily be where it needs to be based on the circumstances they've been dealing with. So the objective, and the nice thing is we got a handful of guys, a good group of guys that are, I have no problem putting in the game. They're capable, they know what they're doing, they're able to function at a high level, and a handful of guys with some position flexibility. And so that's allowed us to do that, you know, and hopefully keep guys fresh for late in the game. You know, when if it comes down to a two-minute situation and you got to go and rush 8-10 snaps in a row, which can be extremely taxing, we're able to do that.
Thanks, everyone. Thanks,
Coach. There you go, Brendan Daly. Former Patriots defensive line coach with the Kansas City Chiefs right now. Everything I hear about this guy is just how smart he is, how much of the scheme. I think that, you got to think about his coaching acumen. You know, you're with Belichick, you know, the greatest defensive mind we've probably ever seen, or actually that we've ever seen defensively, and Andy Reid. You know, you're with both. And I understand Andy's on offense or whatever, but again, I'll tell you, Andy knows defense like the back of his hand. It's what he schemes against. Serta, the text line, 69306, loved Dylan McCullough. He did. And I will tell you this, Serta, I will play McCullough anytime and every time. I have now found the guy that I like listening to. And text line loves him. Swagger. I haven't seen this kind of reaction from an assistant coach with the Chiefs in a long time. The text line really, really likes Dylan McCullough. Do you guys like Brendan Daly or just McCullough guys? Sir, do you have a preference? Because I'm now a McCullough guy, man. I will play him anytime. Anytime. I find him interesting.
Nah, I mean, nobody really touched me like that.
Oh, come on, man. You weren't moved? Well, I mean, what are you looking for, Serta? What do you want from a coach? You like coach speak, task at hand, one day at a time? You know, what exactly are you looking for? You looking for this?
Well, as usual, I'd say the Chiefs look pretty good.
What floats your boat, man?
Coach speak just doesn't really do anything for me. I like interesting people. I like guys that actually, you know, crack jokes and say things that are funny and have senses of humor about things. Like Jamal Williams. You ever watch a Jamal Williams press conference running back for the Green Bay Packers? He's hilarious.
I thought Devin McCourty was very good. He didn't really have the jokes, the funny ha-ha stuff. Did you ever watch Rex Ryan?
Yeah, but see, he didn't really do it for me either. I just thought Rex Ryan was kind of a D-bag.
What about Leach? If you're a fan
he's funny.
Of interesting press conference.
He's funny because he'll just say whatever pops into his head.
You can ask him whatever you want. It's not like he'll be in the middle of a big Pac-12 game and he'll be asked about weddings. Or he'll be asked about aliens or Bigfoot. Or mascots. He called a reporter the other day a sanctimonious troll. Those were the words he used because he thinks that somebody a long time ago said something or that Washington State did something to him. And he's always writing negative things about that. Had a ton of fun today with Serta. I thought we had some interesting conversations. And I look forward to talking to Serta tomorrow and you guys as well as we look forward and get a day closer to Chiefs Pats. Looking forward to that. I'll be back tonight, 8 o'clock, 8 to 9 for Rush the Field, talking all college football. Nothing else but all college football. Brandon Kiley, Carrington Harris, and Sean Levine, The Drive, come your way next. Big thanks to Bob Sosi, who joined us at 12 o'clock. He's the voice of the New England Patriots. Huge thanks to Charge as well. See you guys tomorrow. Drive next.
Midday brought to you by Crossroads.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.